beautiful Lord's Day, and we appreciate your presence here this morning. It's good that we can be together and we sing these beautiful songs and pray to God and study His Word. We appreciate the good lessons from Brother Neil and Brother Scott. We'd like to continue our lesson, our series of lessons on the Christian home. This is our sixth lesson in this series, The Duties of Singles. In this series of lessons, we have studied about the sanctity of marriage, how it is holy. God instituted marriage. He created Adam and Eve and joined them together in marriage, one man and one woman. Also, the duties of a husband, how the husband is to love and to honor and cherish his wife. Also, the duties of a wife, how that she's to submit to her husband and love her husband and respect her husband. Also, the duties of parents, how that parents are to bring their children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord and provide for their needs. Also, the duties of children, how children are to obey their parents, honor their parents, to love their parents. In many cases, little is said concerning those who are single. Of course, there are many people that are single that have not married. We know that they're single for various reasons. Maybe they've never married, or maybe they're divorced or widowed. And so there are many that are single and do not have a husband or wife or children, at least at home. First of all, let's consider the singles, the unmarried, those who have not married, who have never married. Reasons for not being married. Well, for some it may be the circumstances. Things just didn't work out for them. They never found the right person. They never found the one that they truly love, or maybe they never wanted to get married. Women who have never been asked to be married. Sometimes some maybe know a man has never asked them to marry them, at least not as yet. Men who have yet to find a woman to accept their proposal. And so sometimes men will propose and ask a woman to marry him, and she refuses. Back when I was young and I was courting my wife, I had a good friend. You know him, but I won't mention his name. And he was going with a young woman, and he got down on his knees and proposed to her, and she rejected. She refused to marry him. But he did marry later on another good woman. So many are waiting for the right person to come into their life. And so it's important that a person wait for the right person. Don't marry the first person that comes along and ask you. If you don't love that person, and that person is not the kind of person that you want to marry. There are many that have chosen not to marry. And so many don't want to get married. It's not necessary for a person to get married. Quite a few years ago, people would look down on a woman if she didn't get married in her early 20s and criticize her and call her an old maid. They used to have a card game they called the old maid, and if you got the old maid, it's a bad situation. So, of course, it's not like that today. People don't look down on a young woman because she is not married. And certainly if she's not married, then certainly she's made the right decision, because if she was married, maybe she had made the wrong decision. There are times when single may be the best choice. Paul speaks about it at Corinth. There was certain distress. We don't know what the problem was. It may have been a famine or something happened. He tells them that it would be better for them not to marry. In 1 Corinthians 7, verse 25 beginning, "Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment from the Lord, yet I give judgment as one whom the Lord in his mercy has made trustworthy. I suppose, therefore, that this is good, because of the present distress, that it's good for a man to remain as he is. Are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be loosed. Are you loosed from a wife? Do not seek a wife. But even if you do marry, you have not sinned. If a virgin marries, she has not sinned. Nevertheless, such will have trouble in the flesh, but I will spare you. And so, because of the conditions here in Corinth, he tells them not to marry. It'd be better for them not to. Probably back during the Depression was not a very good time for people to get married. I know many did get married, but it's very difficult for them to make a living. Or if a hurricane was to come through the city and destroy the city, wouldn't be a good time to get married at that particular, when that was going on. There are some that choose to be single to be of service to God. They've decided that they want to dedicate their life to God and they want to serve God, and they decided they don't want to get married. In Matthew 19, verse 11 and 12, but he said to them, all cannot accept this saying, but only those whom it has been given. But there are eunuchs who were born thus from their mother's womb. There are eunuchs who were made eunuchs by men. There are eunuchs who made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He who is able to accept it, let him accept it. And so here Paul writes about those who made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. They've decided not to marry, but to serve the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 7, 7 and 8, for I wish that all men were even as myself, but each one has his own gift from God, one in this manner, another in that. But I say to the unmarried and to the widows, it's good for them if they remain even as I am. And so the Apostle Paul must not have been married. He never mentions his wife, and he was always traveling, preaching the gospel. But he must not have had a wife or children. And he says, the unmarried and the widows, it's good for them if they remain even as I am. That is, dedicate your life in serving the Lord as he did. The duties of those who are unmarried: marry if necessary to avoid fornication. If a man is not able to control his body, control his lust, he says it's better to marry than to commit fornication. In 1 Corinthians 7, verses 1 and 2, Paul says, now concerning the things of which you wrote to me, it's good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife, let each woman have her own husband. And so each man should have his own wife, a wife or own husband. And if a person is lust after a woman, he's saying it's better for them to marry than to commit fornication. In 1 Corinthians 7, verses 7 through 9, for I wish that all men were even as I myself. But each one has his own gift from God, one in this manner, another in that. But I say to the unmarried, to the widows, it's good for them if they remain even as I am. But if they cannot exercise self-control, let them marry. It's better to marry than to burn with passion. And so he says it's better for them to marry if there's that lust and they cannot control themselves. It's better to lust than to be lost eternally. Marriage is an honorable way to avoid fornication. Of course, this presumes that one has a scriptural right to marry. If a person has the right, the scriptural right to marry, then certainly it's honorable to marry. If one is not married, they must remain chaste, pure in life. If a young man or woman decides they're not going to get married, they must remain chaste or pure, live a pure and holy life. In 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9, beginning, it says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. And so the fornicators, adulterers, homosexuals, sodomites, he says, will be condemned if they continue in that state. They must repent and obey God if they expect to go home to heaven. Also in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18 through 20, he says, flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God? You're not your own, for you were bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body, in your spirit, which are God's. And so fornication or sexual immorality of sinning against your own body. And we have to flee, he says, sexual immorality. It will condemn us. We must repent and do the will of God. We've been bought with a price, he says, and glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. Sexual relationships outside of marriage is fornication. It's sin. And a person that continues in sin certainly will be lost. And so sex outside of marriage is not acceptable to God. The body is not to be used for sexual immorality. Use your singleness for the Lord. If you decided that you want to be single, you'll remain single in your life, then serve God faithfully. In 1 Corinthians 7, verse 32, beginning says, but I want you to be without care. He who is unmarried cares for the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he who is married cares for the things of the world, how he may please his wife. There's a difference between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman cares for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she who is married cares for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. This I say for your own profit, not that I may put a lease on you, but for what is proper, that you may serve the Lord without distraction. And so when a person is single, of course, they have more time, they have more opportunities, and maybe less responsibilities. A young woman that has little children, she's busy, she has a lot of responsibilities. She doesn't have the time that a single woman has. And so a person may decide to stay single and serve the Lord. Also the divorced, who are also single, you might say. Reasons for being divorced. For some, it may be for scriptural reasons. Jesus gave an exception that a person can't put away their wife or their husband. Yes, they may put away their spouse for fornication. In Matthew 19 and 9, I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, shall marry another, committeth adultery. Whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery. And so Jesus here gave one exception for you to put away your wife or your husband, that is fornication. Also another reason may be for being divorced, they realized that they were in an unlawful marriage. Some years back, we had a sister here that she heard a lesson on marriage and divorce and a gospel meeting, and she decided that her marriage was not acceptable to God. She was unscripturally married, and so she left her husband. She made that choice. She felt like that her marriage was not right in the eyes of God. Not many people would be willing to do that. But if it's not scriptural, it's not according to the Bible, then we need to do what is right in the eyes of God. Others are divorced for unscriptural reasons. Maybe they were put away for no fault of their own, but their husband or their wife put them away. Or they put away their spouse for reasons other than fornication. Yes, the duties of those who are divorced. Return to your spouse if it's possible. in 1 Corinthians 7, verses 10 and 11. Now to the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord. A wife is not to depart from her husband, but even if she does depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband, and the husband is not to divorce his wife. I know a preacher now, he's been preaching for many years, good gospel preacher. He and his wife, when they were young, they got a divorce. But sometime later, they got back together again and remarried, and they've been together for many years. And so it's better if you can go back to the one that you have been divorced from in an effort to reconcile and restore that marriage, especially if the reason was not for fornication. The divorced person must avoid all adulterous marriage. Yes, a person that is divorced, they need to be very careful and make sure that they have the scriptural right to marry again. In Matthew 5, verse 20, 31 and 32, it's been said, "Whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery." And so if the person that you marry, and maybe they've divorced, if they had the right to put away their husband or their wife, then you would have the right to marry them. But we need to be careful. In Romans 7, verses 2 and 3, "For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband, so long as he liveth. If the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then if, while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. If her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man." Of course, if a person's husband or wife has died, they're free to marry again. It's possible for a marriage to result in adultery, unless fornication is the cause of divorce. Remarriage is adultery. Remarry only on scriptural grounds. We read there in Matthew 19 and 9, Jesus gave that one exception, the cause of fornication, where fornication was the cause of the divorce, in which the innocent party puts away the guilty party. Then they would have the right to marry again. Then we notice the duties of widows. Widows and widowers, and their husband or their wife has died. The young widows, notice what Paul tells the young widows that they should do. 1 Timothy 5, verse 14, "Therefore I desire that the younger widows marry, bear children, manage the house, give no opportunity to the adversary to speak reproachfully." And so he advises here the young widows to marry again and to have children and a family. Why? He says to avoid idleness, gossip, becoming a busybody. In 1 Timothy 5, verse 13, "Beside, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, not only idle, but also gossip and busybodies, saying things which they ought not." And so it's better, he says, for a young widow to marry again than to be a busybody or a gossiper. The aged widows, they're to put their trust in God and serve him in prayer. In 1 Timothy 5 and verse 5, "Now she is really a widow and left alone. Trust in God, continues in supplications and prayers night and day." Yes, the older widows, they're faithful to God, they pray to God, they continue in their prayer night and day. Anna is a good example of an older widow. In Luke, the second chapter, verse 36 through 38. "Now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, and the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. This woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, served God with fastings and prayers night and day. Coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord, spake of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And so this godly woman, a widow, says 84 years, and she stayed at the temple. She served God in fasting and prayers night and day. She was dedicated in her service to God. In conclusion, singleness, whether by choice or circumstance, can be a blessing. Yes, it's better not to marry if you're not going to marry for the right person and the right reasons. Yes, there's freedom from care in time of distress or persecution that we read about there in 1 Corinthians 7. Also in 1 Corinthians 7:32, but I want you to be without care. He who is unmarried cares for the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. And so this can be a blessing in being single. Freedom to serve the Lord in ways that the married cannot. Singleness does have its disadvantages. There's the danger of temptation, the danger of lust after the flesh, the danger of loneliness. It could be lonely not to be married, have a family. The danger of self-centeredness. If you're a single person, use your freedom to serve God. Be dedicated and be faithful to God. Watch out for the dangers of being single. Remember that you're in the family of God. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. And whatever our circumstances, married or single, may we follow God's word and glorify him with our families and with our lives. And so God has instructed those who are single how that they are to live, to be holy and to be faithful to him. And if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, we want to encourage you to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. All things are ready. Jesus invites you to come. Faith comes by hearing God's word. Repent of your sins. Give up your sinful life. Turn to God. Confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and then be baptized. Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." And so if you want to go to heaven, you don't want to go to hell for eternity, then you need to obey the gospel, become a Christian, and live the Christian life so that you can go to heaven. And so if you're subject to the invitation, why don't you come now while we stand and sing this song.
Hear the blessed Savior.